Today's Shi'ur Masechta Brachos Daf Mem Beis. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph on the top line. Says the Gemara, "Huna Ochel Treis Rifta B'nei Tlosa Tlosa B'Kabo." Rav Huna ate 13 pasabah kisnin, which each was 3 to a kav. A kav holds 24 eggs, so each kisnin bread had the volume of 8 bayim. So he had a total of 104 bayim from these 13 breads. Amlei Rav Nachman, v'lei baruch, and he didn't say birchas hamazon when he finished eating them. Of course, the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina and the Rambam and the Rashba and the Rosh all say that he didn't say birchas hamazon when he finished eating them, but certainly he said a bracha achrona. He said an ala michya. Amalei Rav Nachman, at kafna, were they eaten to satisfy hunger? And therefore, since you ate them, because you were obviously very hungry, the special rules that may normally apply to kisnin, that you make a mezonos ala michya, don't apply in this situation. Akash acherim kovim alav suda, if you ate the amount that other people a kaveya suda for such an amount of kisna bread, the halacha is tzarech levarech. So here we begin to learn the halacha of pasabah b'kisnin. So the Shulchan Aruch brings 3 different opinions. What are pasabah b'kisnin? Most poskim are of the opinion that it, as the name implies, it looks like a kiss, like a packet. That they used to take, I guess, something that looked like a pita, fill it up with different fillings, honey, sugar, nuts, fruit, and that's considered pasabah b'kisnin. And the halacha is that even if you remove the filling and all you're left with is just the packet, still it's considered pasabah b'kisnin, because when it was baked, it was baked together with the filling in it. However, that's only if the dough has the taste of that filling. If it doesn't have the taste of that filling and you remove the filling, then it's regular hamotzi. Another definition of pasabah b'kisnin is that into the dough, when they prepared the dough, they poured honey or oil or different spices, eggs, and here too, it has to be a significant amount of these different ingredients that makes this dough not taste like regular dough. In fact, Ramos says that they have to have so much of these different ingredients that it looks like they are the majority of the ingredient, of the bread, the dough. If you just put some sweetener or raisins into your dough, that won't make it into a pasabah b'kisnin. It certainly can be considered still regular pas. Here it has a lot of different ingredients that change the taste considerably. A third definition of pasabah b'kisnin is it's made with just flour and water, but it looks like a cracker, not like a bread. La locha, we're machmer for all 3 shittas. And for all 3 shittas, if we only ate a small amount, as the Gemara just said, the brach is mezoinus and alamichya, if you ate them a million meal, you need not make a bracha, if you made hamoitzi at the beginning of the meal. But if you eat them for dessert, so if it's pasabah b'kisnin, so it's not part of the meal, and you need to make a b'mezoinus. You don't need to make a bracha achrona, for as we discussed in our previous shiur, whenever you have a food, even if it's a food for which you need to make a bracha, rishona, even if you're eating it during the meal, birchas hamazon works for that food as well. The Paiskim do say that given that we gave three explanations offered by the Rishonim about Pasa Baba Kisnan, the explanation that it's crackers, that is the most difficult definition for this halacha. And if you eat crackers in the middle of the meal, the Paiskim say you'll never have to make a separate bracha. Furthermore, the first definition we gave for Pasa Baba Kisnan was like a bread, a pita, filled with different ingredients. So the halacha is that that's only if it's a pita filled with bread. But let's say you have a cooked dish, you have like a apple kugel, that's not called Pasa Baba Kisnan. And our Gemara says, if your kaveh is suda on Pasa Baba Kisnan, you need to make a mitzi and birchas hamazon. If you were not kaveh suda, then you make a mezoinis and alamichya. The question that comes up is, let's say at the beginning of the meal, let's say at the beginning when you started eating the pasa baba kisnan, you did not intend to eat so much that you would be kaveh suda. So you made a birchas hamazon, you said bar mina mezoinis. And then you ate more. What's the halacha? So the halacha is, it depends how much more do you intend to eat. If the rest of the Pasa Baba Kisnan that you intend to eat is the amount for which one is kaveh suda, then the halacha is, you have to, at that point, wash your hand, and you have to make a hamotzi. If it's not your intention to eat that much anymore, so the halacha will be, you will not need to make a hamotzi, you will not need to wash your hands, but you will still need to make a birchas hamazon. As we speak about Pasa Baba Kisnan, a very common question that's asked is, if you have an ice cream that you eat in a cone, what is the halacha? So, the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed says that you make a shahakal because the main thing you want to eat is the ice cream. And the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simen Kuf Samaches Siv Ches teaches us, Rikikim Dakim, thin wafers, Shenoisim Akachas Aleim, and you put a heavy coating of whatever food on top of them, Tfeilim Lagabi Amakachas, the cracker becomes secondary to the filling on top of it. Birchas hamakachas patrosim. But when is that? Says the Mishnah Brura. Only if you're eating the ice cream together with the ice cream cone. But if you're eating the ice cream and then after you finish the ice cream, you eat the ice cream cone, then you have to make a separate bracha mezoinus on the ice cream cone. Another commonly asked question is cheesecake that has a very thin layer of dough and has a very heavy layer of cheese. What is the halacha? So he quotes the Chazon Ish that says there's a food called mulyasa, which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and since that is considered mulyasai, there the cheese doesn't become secondary to the dough, and the halacha is that you should make a bracha on the cake separately, a mezoinis, and then a separate bracha on the cheese. The question will be regarding a bracha achrayna. For as we've discussed many times, to make a bracha rishayna, there is no shear. Even if you eat the most minimal amount, you make a bracha rishayna. But to be chayv in a bracha achrayna, you've had to eat Kazayis Bechtei Achilas Pras. And therefore, under those circumstances, perhaps if you didn't eat a lot of the cake, there isn't a lot of the cake, you don't make an alamichya. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Ava Osugle Lebrei, Rav Yehuda was marrying off his son, Bei Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva, to the home of Rav Yehuda Bar Chaviva. And there's a very interesting discussion amongst the Paiskim based on this Gemara. There are many people that follow the Tzavas of Yehuda HaChosid. And in the Tzavas of Yehuda HaChosid it says, the two Mechutonim should not have the same name. And here we see that Rabbi Yehuda's son was marrying the daughter of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. So obviously the two Mechutonim had the same name. What do we do with the Tzavas of Yehuda HaChosid? So based on this and on other examples that we find throughout Shas, there are many Poskim that are of the opinion that the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid was only said for the descendants of Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid. And that's why the Noi Rabbi Yehuda says that it was only said, he knew, he saw that if his descendants enter into such a relationship, they will not be Matzliach. But it wasn't said for everybody else. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva could be Mechutonim together. Another explanation is when Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid says that the two Mechutonim shouldn't have the same name, it means that they shouldn't have the exact same name. Here they didn't have the exact same name. His name was Rabbi Yehuda, and his name was Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. And since they didn't have the exact same name, this concern doesn't apply. Another explanation I saw, it wasn't that the two Mechutonim were Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. They weren't the Mechutonim. What the Gemara is saying is that the wedding of the son of Rabbi Yehuda took place in the home of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. But it wasn't that Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva was the Kala's father. They just took place in the same home. Asal Kamei, Pasa Baba Kisnan. So Pasa Baba Kisnan was served, Kiyasa, and when Rabbi Yehuda came, Shemina de Kamei Mavachinu Maitzi. They heard him making Hamaitzi on the Pasa Baba Kisnan. Amalahu. So he said to them, "My tzitzi the kushimano. What's this tzaddik sound that I'm hearing? Dilma hamaitzil lechem and arutz kumavirchzu. Does this mean that you're making a bracha of hamaitzi? I'm like in. Absolutely. The Tanya, as we learned, pas Ramuna am mishum Yehuda, pas abba kistin, bevarch lehamaitzi, vam that you make hamaitzi and pas abba kistin, vam shmul halach kramano. I'm lehu. So Yehuda said to them, I learned." And Allah Krabana Atmer, that Allah doesn't follow Ramuna. Amalei. So he asked him, Vamahu Dam Mishmei de Shmuel, you're the one that said, the Lachmonius me arvin behem. They had these rolls that looked, they were pas haboba kisnan. And the Allah is that if you have a home, the best example I always give is an apartment house. So in an apartment house, you have the individual apartments that the different people live in. And then you have the common areas, the corridors, the foyers. And the halacha is that they're all Rosh HaSayachid. And the halacha tells us that you're allowed to carry from one Rosh HaSayachid to another Rosh HaSayachid. Came Shlomo Melech and said that you're not allowed to carry from a more private Rosh HaSayachid to a more public Rosh HaSayachid. So each individual apartment is a more private Rosh HaSayachid than the common areas. The only way you could avoid this problem is making an Erev Chatzeres with bread. Everybody contributes some bread and they leave the bread in one apartment. So we see the Lachmanius, says Rabbi Yehuda, which are Pasa Baba Kisnan, can be used as bread for an Erev Chatzeres. And furthermore, and you make hamaitzi. So why are you so upset that hamaitzi is being made on Pasa Baba Kisnan? Says so. Shani Hosom said, Rabbi Yehuda, the kavei is sudusay. When do I say you make hamaitzi? Like we started the shir, when your kavei is suda on the Pasa Baba Kisnan. The avil hechda like kavei sudasa layu. If there's no kavei is suda, as we learned, Pasa Baba Kisnan is a mezoinus and alamichya. Rapapa Ikla Bay Rav Hunabarid Rav Nosan. Basa the Gomas of the Sayu, after they finish the meal, Aisel Kamei Midal Michael. They brought them something else to eat. Shaka Rapapa Vakachel. Rapapa took the food and ate it. Amalei, so they asked him, Lysovel Amar, don't you agree with the halacha that Gomer, once you finish the meal, Osel Echel, you can't eat anymore without making a bracha? Amalahu, So he said to them, you don't understand what I said. What I meant to say was that Selik Itmar, they used to have tables when on which every individual ate, and they only when those tables are removed, that's when the halacha is that you have to make a separate, that's when the halacha is that you have, that you can't eat anymore. But here, they didn't take away the tables. So why may I not eat? And says the Gemara, Rav Rav Zera, Ikla Bei Resh Gulsa. Rav Rav Zera came once to the home of Resh Gulsa. The boss of the Sliku Taka Mikamayu, after they removed the table from before them, Shadav Le Ristkam Bei Resh Gulsa. They brought some more food from the home of Resh Gulsa. Rav Achel, Rav Zera Le Achel. Rav ate and Rav Zera didn't eat. Once the tables are removed, you can't eat anymore. We're guests here. And since we're guests here, we're not sure when the meal is really over. And since we're not sure when the meal is over, that's why if more food was brought, we had in mind that if more food will be brought, we'll be able to eat. Tosfos asked the question. The Gemara is saying here that they removed the table and then they benched. But asked Tosfos, isn't the minig that we leave bread on the table for Birchas Hamazon? So Tosfos answers, as we said a moment ago, what they used to do was they had an individual table for every person eating. So all the people, their tables were removed after they finished eating. However, the table that was in front of the person who was going to lead the Birchas Hamazon was left in front of him with some bread on him. Amarav, says the Gemara, Haragel B'Shemen, as we're going to discuss, the halacha is you're supposed to wash your hands. They used to wash their hands with oil before they benched to remove, since they ate with their fingers, they wanted to remove any residue, any foul smell. So until you actually until you wash with oil, that means you haven't finished the meal. Amar Rav Ashi, Ka'avina Bei Rav Kahan, Amalon, Kigon Anan, like us, the Regilim B'Mishcha, that we always wash our hands with oil, Mishcha Makvilon, the meal is not considered complete until we actually wash our hands with the oil. Says the Gemara, V'les Kelchus Kahal Harishmatza, the halach is not like everything we learned, El Kihod Amar Rav Chibar Ashi, Amar Rav, Shalosh Tekifa saying, there are three things that have to happen immediately. Take of L'smicha Shchita. We know that when Kabbanos were brought in the base of Migdosh, the person who brought the carbon had to do smicha on the carbon. He had to lean on the carbon. And the halach is right after the leaning, you should do Shchita. Take of L'gula Tefila. As we discussed in this Masechta many times, the halach is that when we daven Shmon Esrei, when we daven in the morning particularly, and we say Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael, there should be no interruption between the Baruch Atah Hashem Goel Yisrael and the Shemon Esrei, even without saying Amen. There's an interesting question, does that halach apply all the time? Or those, the Mishnah Berurah quotes Paiskim that say it doesn't apply on Shabbos. Why? Because when we learned at the beginning of our Masechta that the halach is, you have to say Smichas Gula L'Tfilah, because the pasuk says, "Yadcha Hashem b'yom tzara." Next to Yil Ratzon Hashem, they two psukim are together. But Shabbos is not a Yadcha Hashem b'yom tzara, and therefore there may not be such a serious requirement of smichas gula l'tfila. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that we don't act that way, because the Gemara gives another reason why you have to have smichas gula l'tfila. Because you're supposed to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're supposed to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Goel Yisrael, that He saved us. Immediately after praising Hashem, you're supposed to daven. That concept applies on Shabbos as well. And take of Natilas Yadayim Barakah. And right after you wash your hands, you should say that Natilas Yadayim. And certainly, this means for Mayim Achroinim. Right after you wash Mayim Achroinim, you should make Birchas Hamazon. The Paiskim, the Mefarshim explain that there are other places in Halacha where you have to do things immediately. Why did the Gemara mention these three? Because these are examples where you have to do, where walking, talking, and eating are involved. But it's not only in these three situations, in all situations, the halacha is, there are many other situations that you have to do, take of l'schita, take of do things immediately, one after the other. Why do you have to wash immediately and then bench? Because the hands, as I said earlier, get dirty during the meal. So you have to wash mayim achroinim. And after you wash mayim achroinim, then the halacha is that you should say Birchas Hamazon. Another pshat is that there was on the table in those days an ingredient called Melech Sadoimus. And Melech Sadoimus could, chas v'shalom, cause your eye to become damaged. And they washed their hands to make sure there was no Melech Sadoimus on your hands. So here we learn, Tekel Natil Shadayim Suda. So the halacha is you have to do this immediately. And the question is, what does immediately mean? Some say immediately means is that you're not allowed to eat after you wash mayim achroinim, but you're allowed to speak. That is the opinion of the Ra'ah and the Ritva. Tosfos says that you shouldn't leave the time that it takes to walk 22 amah. The Rashba says that you shouldn't even do that. Right away, you should bench. And Rabbi Yonason HaKoyin Milunil says that you shouldn't speak. And we try to be machmer to indeed eat right away, to do not talk and certainly not eat after we wash Mayim Achroinim. There's a question. We learned earlier in our shir that if there was Hesach Hadas from the meal, that means you wash your hands with oil, or you took away the table, that you could still eat. What's the halacha if you wash mayim achroinim? So the Pesach can make a very interesting distinction. If somebody, they took away the table, or they did other things to show that they finished the meal, their halacha is that if you want to eat, you could eat. But it provided that you make a new bracha rishayna. Whereas, once you wash mayim achroinim, or you said, havlam v'nevarech, you said you're going to bench, then the halacha is that you can't eat any food, even if you're going to be prepared to make another bracha rishayna. You have to bench, and then afterwards, if you want to eat, make a new bracha and start eating again. There's a question. When our Gemara says, take of Nantilas Yadayim Bracha, we said it's referring to Mayim Achroinim. That right after you wash Mayim Achroinim, you should say Birchas Hamazon. What about Nantilas Yadayim for Bracha Rishayna? So the Rishayim and our Masechta don't say that's what take of Nantilas Yadayim means. However, the Yerushalmi says that this halacha of tekel and netilas yadayim bracha is not only regarding mayim achroinim, but it also refers to the mayim that we wash at the beginning of the meal, that the halacha is, right after you wash, you should eat immediately. And in fact, I saw in the Sefer Hashkafta the Rebbe from Rav Rifkin Zatzal, he says, that's why the Yerushalmi says there's a minig that many people have, that after they wash their hands, they say, Su Yudechem Kodesh, Uvarchus Hashem. They say that pasuk. Why do they say that pasuk? Because what they're saying is, Su Yudechem Kodesh, as soon as you wash your hands, Uvarchu Es Hashem. I saw that Rav Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, says that there was once somebody that came to the Arizal and said that he is suffering from terrible shoulder pain, from back pain. So he said that, are you careful to wash mayim achroinim and immediately after you wash the mayim achroinim to bench? He said, because our Gemara says Teikels and Atilas Yadayim Bracha. You're supposed to do one right after the other. If you weren't careful with the Teikef, the word Teikef and Kosef, shoulders, are the same letters. So instead of Teikef, it became Kosef that you developed shoulder pains. There's also an interesting question. Algemar says that Rav and Rav Zeru, who were in the home of Resh Galusa, even though they thought that the meal was over, but then more food was brought out, they did not see the need to make a new bracha. Why? Because they said, "Ano ataka de Resh Galusa samchinen." We know that we're not in control here, and we knew that maybe more food will be brought out, and therefore, since they knew that more food may be brought out, they didn't really mean it conclusively when they said we're finishing the meal. So now the question is, somebody isn't at home. It's his home. And he doesn't know what his wife is serving. And he thinks that the meal is over. And he says, okay, the meal is over. And then his wife brings out more food. Can we say that that's ataka the balabayis samchinen? So the Shas Tshuvas Betzela Chochma, Chelek Vov Simen Samach Tes, says that if he said, "I'm going to bench," well, he showed that the meal is over, even though he didn't know that his wife was bringing out more food. And had he known that his wife was going to bring out more food, he certainly wouldn't have said it. It doesn't make a difference, and he has to make a new bracha rishona if he wants to eat. Says the Gemara, "Amar Abaye, Af Anu Noimer." We'll also say a Maimer Chazal along these lines. Take a Talmid Chacham and bracha. As soon as you have a Talmid Chacham in your home, you have bracha. Shenemar, as Lovin said to Yaakov Avinu, "Vivrachenu Hashem beglalecha." Bracha came to my home because of you. Ibai say Mahacha that the pasuk says regarding Yosef, who was in the base Potiphar, "Vivarach Hashem is base Hamitzri beglal Yosef." There are some that say the bracha means in finances. There are others that say that it means that I'll have children, because both of these brachas happened by Lavan and Yaakov. So some ask, why does the Gemara have to bring two psukim, the story by Lavan and the story by Yosef? Why isn't the story of Lavan adequate? So the Ben Yehuda says, because Yaakov was a son-in-law by Lavan. A child is different than somebody who's not a child. And maybe therefore we can't bring a raya from Yaakov. Another answer that by Lavan, says the Ben Yehuda, he already had son. And therefore, if you already had something, to bring bracha is not as complicated versus somebody like Potiphar who had nothing. Another is, Lavan said, "Nichashtani uberchani Hashem beglalecha." And in fact, the Mashal says the raya is that the Torah used the word beglalecha, which is not a commonly used word in the Torah. Usually the Torah used the words bavurecha. So says the Imeinoyim, that Lavan said that this is what my God, my Kishuv, said. But it doesn't mean it's necessarily what happened. By Potiphar, we don't find any declaration that Potiphar says, this is because of my God told me. It was because it's what happened. And therefore, that's a better raya. We begin the Mishnah. And in those days, it was very common that at the beginning of the meal, they would bring one more point I saw from the Strupke of a Rebbe. Here we see the power of a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham brought bracha to the home of Lavan. He brought bracha to the home. Yaakov brought the bracha to the home of Lavan. Lavan, we know, was a Rasha. Yosef brought bracha to the home of Potiphar, who was also no big tzaddik. So we see that the power of a tzaddik to bring bracha, it makes no difference to whom. They have the power to bring bracha to everyone. So as we said, those days they used to have wine at the beginning of the meal, and then they had wine at the end of the meal. Says the Mishnah, "Birach al yain shel fnei mazon." If you drank wine at the beginning of the meal, potas yain shalach hamazon. You need not make a new bayir pri agofin for the wine at the end of the meal. Birach al peperis shalim fnei mazon. They used to have these dishes that they ate at the beginning of the meal, and similar dishes were eaten at the end of the meal. So if you made a bracha at the beginning of the meal, you need not make another bracha at the end of the meal. Birach al pas. If you made a hamaitzi, potas a peperis, then you don't have to make a separate bracha on the papyrus. But if you made the bracha of papyrus, like potter as a pass, you still have to make a bracha hamaitzi. So of course, all the mafarshim ask the question. We know that papyrus is not hamaitzi. So how can we think that if you made whatever bracha on the papyrus, you shouldn't have to make, of course you have to make a separate hamaitzi. So I saw that the Pitzkei Rid answers, we discussed this. Maybe the bracha on the papyrus was a mezainis. And maybe you could rely on a mezainis and not have to make a hamaitzi. Teaches us the Mishnah that a mezainis cannot take the place of a hamaitzi. Beishamayim, afloy mes kadeira. Even if he made a bracha on the papyrus, we'll see what this means. It doesn't help for the mes kadeira. The Gemara is going to discuss what does it mean in this statement. Hayu yoshvim, if they were sitting, not reclining, kalechem mevarach la'atzmai, then one person cannot make a bracha for the entire group. Hisebu, but if they're all reclining together, then the halach is echem mevarach l'kulan, one can make a bracha for everybody. Say the paiskim, that was only in those days, where people typically reclined when they ate. So unless you're reclining, it's not considered that you were kaveyah suda together. Bizman hazeh, where we don't recline, then the halacha is that sitting has the same halachic status as reclining. Ba'alam yayim b'toch hamazon, but if wine comes during the meal, then kol echav echem mevarach la'atzmai. Everybody should make their own bracha. The Gemara will explain why. But if the wine only came ach hamazon at the end of the meal, echem mevarach l'kulam, one person makes a bracha for all of them. The person who makes the bracha on the wine is also the person that makes the bracha on mugmer. They used to bring incense, mugmer, at the end of the meal. And the Mishnah is teaching us that the person who makes the bracha on the wine also makes the bracha on the mugmer. The way the Rambam understands the Mishnah is that the mugmer, they drank the wine at the end of the meal. After they drank the wine at the end of the meal, they brought mugmer and then they benched. There are others that say that they made that they brought the wine. They did the mugmer after benching. You make a bracha on the mugmer, but who should be the one to make that bracha? The person who made the bracha on the wine. The Paiskim can make a very, very important point. We're speaking here about the bracha rishayna, and when it comes to bracha rishayna, their halacha is that everybody, one person can make the bracha for an entire group. But when it comes to the bracha achroina, their halacha is that everybody should say their own bracha achroina, unless we have a situation where there are people who don't know how to make a bracha achroina. If they don't know how to make a bracha achroina, then the one person, the person who's leading the Birkas HaMazon or the Alamichya, should make that bracha on behalf of all the people who can't make their own bracha achroina. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi B'chan, Amar Rabbi Yochan, Lo Yishanu, El B'Shabbos V'Yom Tovim. Only on Shabbos and Yontif, when we make bracha on the wine at the beginning of the meal, it covers the wine that's going to be consumed at the end of the meal. However, Adam Kaveh Suda Sol Yain. It's typical to drink wine at the Suda on Shabbos. Avav Shar Yumais Hashanah, other days of the year, Bevarach HaKol Kais V'Kais, for every Kais you have to make a separate bracha. And from here the Rambam says that we see that there's a din to make, drink wine to, at every meal on Shabbos. And the Magen Mishnah says that the basis for that Rambam is this Gemara. The Torah disagrees with the Rambam, and he says that you're not obligated to drink wine by every meal. But the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that even though We can't say that you're obligated to drink wine by every meal. It's worthwhile to drink wine by every meal because it represents Oinig Shabbos. And certainly that's the halacha on Yontif. And that's why there are certain places that people have the minig that they drink wine even by Shalosh Shudos. Because as the Rambam says, you're supposed to drink wine by every Shabbos meal. Et menami amar amari, Rabbi Bamari amar b'shu ben Levi, loy shan al b'shabsus b'yontif, u'b'shar shan b'yontif b'yis amerchus b'shas ha'kozus adam. They, when very common healing that they had was bloodletting, and after they let blood, they used to drink wine, and they, ho'yav adam kaveh sedos ala yayin, and therefore one person makes the bracha for the entire group. Where it's not certain you're going to drink more than the cup that you're about to drink, and you're not kavei suda on the wine, mevarcha kol kais v'kais. Says the Gemara, Rava b'mari ikla bei Rava b'chol. He came to the home of Rava during the week. Chachazi the baruch lefnei mazon. He saw that he made a bracha by priya gofen on the wine served before the meal. V'had the baruch lacha mazon. And then he said, he made another bracha on the wine served after the meal. Amalei yasher, you're doing the right thing. The Kenam Rav Yishuv ben Levi. Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef, ikle be Abaye b'yontif, chazi de baruch kol kasa v'kasa. He saw that he was making a bracha on every cup of wine separately. Amalei le'sov le'mal ha'ad Rav Yishuv ben Levi, that in Shabbos and Yontif, you make one bracha on everything. So he said, nimlechani, I'm not a person that decided to drink a lot of cups of wine. And therefore, every time I decided to drink the cup and not drink any more. So when I decided to take another cup of wine, I needed to make a new bracha. Ibalahu. So now ask the Gemara, Balam yayin b'toich hamazon. If wine was served during the meal, ma sheyifta siyayin shalach hamazon. Could that wine make that you shouldn't have to make another bracha on the wine that's served after the meal? Im timtzloimer, if as we learned in our Mishnah, birich al yayin shlefnei hamazon, that if you made a bracha on the bari priya gofen and the wine before the meal, poitas yayin shlach hamazon, mishum sezel lishtes vezel lishtes. They both serve the same purpose. I want to drink wine. Avlocha, the zel lishtes. The wine that I drink before and after the meal is for the purpose of drinking. However, zel lishtes, the wine that we drink during the meal is only to soak the food, to help the digestion. There, since they don't serve the same purpose, the bracha on the wine for lishrois won't work for lishrois, or dilma loishna. And as I saw, the ra'ah, Tysus explains this gemara. Tysus explains that wine has its own bracha, a bari priya gofen, because you drink it. But that's only when you're drinking it. Not when you're using for lishrois purposes. Says the Gemara Machlokes, Rav Amar Poter, that even wine that you drink during the meal, the bracha could take care of the wine for the wine that you drink after the meal. Rav Kahana Amar Eina Poter. Rav Nachman Amar Poter. Rav Shesh Sama Eina Poter. Rav Huna Rav Yehuda Kol Tamida the Rav Amri Eina Poter. Eisei Rav Rav Nachman. How could you say that the wine during the meal covers the wine at the end of the meal? It said in our Mishnah, "Bole im yayim b'toich hamazon kolach v'achad v'arach latzmai." If they're served wine during the meal, everybody has to make their own bracha. Lach hamazon, but wine served at the end of the meal, echem v'arach l'kulon. So how could you say that it's the same? Amalei im loy bole im yayim b'toich hamazon el ach hamazon echem v'arach l'kulon. What it means to say is that there was no wine during the meal, and there's only one at the end of the meal. You have to make one, a bracha. But indeed, if you made a bracha during the meal, maybe you don't have to make a bracha at the end of the meal. Birch al pas, we learned in the Mishnah, potes of a paris. Al paperis like potes a pas, b'sham amr afloi meisa kadeira. Ask the Gemara in trying to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai. Iboilu, Beis Shammai reish, and the Gemara is going to explain what the question is. Iboilu, Beis Shammai reisha pligi, or dema sefer pligi. How are we to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai? The Mefarshim asked the question that why the Ratvaz asks, why are we trying to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai? We don't paskin like Beis Shammai. So the Ratvaz says, in order to understand the opinion of the Tanakama, Beis Hillel, we need to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai. However, there are different mefarshim that suggest the mitzvah eisen is, we find in Shas that even though we don't paskin like Beis Shammai, we need to try to understand his opinion. The Kama Tana Kama, and now the Gemara explains what is the kasha. What is the two options? The Kama Tana Kama, the Tana Kama says, Birach ala pas, potter as a papyrus, that if you bade a brocha amoitzi on the pass, you need not make another brocha on the papyrus. For Koshken, if you made a brocha on the pass, you don't have to make a brocha on the Maisa Kedera. Vos Beis Shammai Lameim, it comes along Beis Shammai, loim abayu papyrus, which is not really part of the meal, loy potter la pass, that the brocha on the pass doesn't take care of the papyrus. Alfilu Maisa Kedera, namilo patra. Even Maisa Kedera, which is really part of the meal, the pass doesn't work for it. Oidoma, or maybe the way to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai is a safer plea. The Ktani Berach al Papyrus, Loipotas a pass, that if you made a brach on the papyrus, that wouldn't help you for the bread. Pass who the Loipotar, Ava Maisa Kateri Potter. It means that the bracha on the papyrus won't take care of bread, but it will take care of the Maisa Kedera, provided that they have the same bracha. Vasa, also Beis Shammai Lameimer, comes Beis Shammai and teaches us that Filu Maisa Kedera, Namilei Potter. That not only does the bracha on the papyrus not work for the pass, but the bracha on the papyrus doesn't even work for the Maisa Kedera, and the Gemara remains with a teiku. The definition of a teiku is like a tick, which the Aruch explains, we have a bag where we don't know what's in it. The Tosfos Yontov says, teiku means tehekoi, leave it be. I don't know what the answer is. But there is a very famous chidah. That the chidah says teiku means tishvi yitaretz kushus abayis. Tishvi Eliyahu Navi will come and answer all these questions. So we learned in the Mishnah, hayoshvin kalechav echad, if they were sitting together, everybody should make their own bracha, but if they were reclining, one person can make the bracha for the entire group. Says the Gemara, sibu in, only if they're reclining, lo yisibu loy. For minu, it says in a braisa, asar shayach mederech, if 10 people are traveling together, api shakulam oichlam kikar echod, even though they're all eating for one loaf of bread, the loch is kolech vechem evarach latzmai. Everybody should make their own bracha. Yeshvu l'achol, but if they sat down to eat, everybody has their own loaf of bread. So here we see Ktanu Yoshu, even though they're sitting, Apish Layut Seva. Amar of Nachma Yitzchak, you don't need to have a Seba if going to Amar Nezel Venechel Achma B'dayim Plan. If they clearly identified that they want to eat in a certain place, then we know that they want to eat in that place, and therefore Yoshu would be enough. This is a question lahalocha. If people are traveling together, and we're discussing making one bracha for the whole group, when do you want to have, when is the halacha you can and when is you can't? So I saw the Paiskim say, if they're all sitting in close proximity to each other, let's say you have a group of people are sitting on an airplane, but they're sitting near each other, then they could make one bracha for the entire group. But if they're sitting dispersed, then one bracha cannot be said for the entire group. Says the Gemara, Kinach Nafshi the Rav. When Rav was Nifter, also Talmidah Basrei, his Talmidah went to the Levaya. Kihadri, when they came back from the Levaya, Om Nezav Nech Lachma Ach Nadunak. Let's sit down and eat a meal by Nahar Dunak. Bost the Karchi, after they ate, Yosef Kambayli, his Siba Dafka Tanan. Does it mean that you have to have a seba that one person should be able to make a brach for the whole group? Avayosh v'loy. A dilma, the halacha that we just learned. Maybe kiven the amen nezel v'neichel rifta b'duch the plinza, it's considered kiseba daimin. They didn't know the answer. Kamer of Adabar Hava, so if Adabar Hava got up, ahad akara lechurei, they all taught kriya for the great Rebbe Rav. He sewed up the kriya, and now kara kriya akrenasa. Our Rebbe is no longer here. Now we don't even know what the halach is. Adasa Husaba, Ramalu Masnis and Brice, he asked the question that we began this piece of Gemara. The Shonalai, Kivin the Armin Nezav Nechel of Lachav Duch Plan, if they make this statement, the halach is Kisei B'Dami. So I saw a powerful vort that Rav Zalman Sorotzkin Tzitzal said at the Levaya of Aaron Kotler. He said, why did he have to sew up the Kriya and tear again? If he wanted to show that they were missing Rav, he should have just torn his beged a little more. As in fact, I saw that the Shmuel tore Kriya 12 times for Rav. Why did they have to sew it up? So he said that there's a tremendous lesson here. The lesson that the Gemara is teaching us is that when a tzaddik, when a Talmid Chacham is nifter, of course we're all sad. Of course we are all upset. And we tear Kriya and we cry. But we don't even realize, said Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, the real loss until later on. As we begin to live and we see how we miss this great Talmud Chacham on a day-to-day basis, then the crying and the hesped take on a whole new meaning. So he said that's what happened in this Gemara. Yes, they went to the Levaya of Rav. It was a very, of course, they were as Talmidim, and they taught Kriya. But they didn't really appreciate and recognize their loss until later. And that's what it had to sew. Now we recognize the loss. And now we start from scratch with a new Kriya altogether.